Sometime around my turning 50 or thereabout, somewhere in that long ago time, I might add, I can't remember exactly when, but the association, American Association of Retired Persons, began knocking on my door. Have you all experienced this? Maybe, yeah, beg your pardon? Well, I actually was hoping to get a free trip to Cancun, but they weren't offering those then. But some of you in the room know what I'm talking about. Others of you have yet to encounter this, so be warned. Be warned. So eventually, you know, this went on and on. I kept thinking, you know, well, retirement's for retired people and I'm not retired. But I finally threw in the towel a few years ago and signed up, you know, to get all their various benefits. And there are some wonderful benefits to the AARP. But you do get the magazine, and I think there's a paper newsletter as well. There's quite a bit that comes in the door. Now, much of what Therefore I'm For, and we'll talk, you know, a little bit more of that in a moment. I mean, they are greatly advocating for seniors, but there's this kind of relentless upbeat to the whole thing. I mean, it's just as if whatever is ailing you, we have a way to fix it. So I just want to share with you the cover of, I brought this with me. I figured, you know, bring something to church and the sermon is really boring, you can start reading it, you know. don't quote me, but anyway, I haven't done that yet. But this is the June, July issue, and on the cover are such interesting things under entertainment, new movies, shows, books, drinks, and music meant for grown-ups, okay. Plan your best road trip ever. Most days I just kind of want to go home and lie down. I'm not sure I want to drive around, but that's okay. How to share money chores. Well, that's all right, I guess. Then there is in the health section, super food smackdown. Healthy growth groceries worth the cost. So on your way to Kroger's after worship, take that with you. This is one I can't wait to get into. Read my hands. Health secrets your nails and knuckles reveal. Who knew?
Yep.
How to find happiness, an illustrated guide. The cover story is Jon Bon Jovi. 130 million records later, the beloved rock star still finds his voice. Well, good for him, I guess. Here's the one, and then a couple more. Boost your posture with 5 easier exercises. But the one I can't wait to read is, This is 60. Don't mind the gap. The case for marrying a much younger man. Helpful advice. Now, on the downside, I give them that. On the downside, in a little box at the top, it says, special report, rising tides, the growing peril of owning a coastal home. Now, for those people who are either lucky enough or wealthy enough to own a coastal home, I hope they read it. But for the rest of us, that's not exactly something at the top of our list of concerns. But there it is. What this speaks to is a fairly educated, retired group of people with some means. All of this is really cast in that socioeconomic bracket of retired folks who have money and healthcare and ability and resources to meet life's challenges, which is all wonderful. But sometimes the information in there is useful for things that are kind of chronic, health things that we all face, hypertension, obesity, the big ones, Alzheimer and cancer. But often that kind of we can fix it all mentality shines through when they're talking about things that are seeking a cure. Once a cure is found, you know, the number of people that die of a certain ailment, and once we get a cure for that, that's going to be fixed, and then that death will be put off maybe indefinitely. Once this disease goes away, life will be better. Once we conquer this, we'll be able to push life expectancy out even farther. The implication is if we just keep curing physical diseases and fixing conditions, will just keep on living as if that alone is the ultimate goal. Like someday 80 will be the new 50, 100 will be the new 70, you get the idea? Even as other things still plague us, we'll all live longer, better, and we can postpone death even if we maybe just ignore it long enough. Which is not what Jesus is doing this morning in Mark's gospel. He is not ignoring death. Mark brings two related healing stories and pairs them, maybe the better word is splices them together in his own unique way. Jesus is about healing and restoring. That's all been through the first chapters of Mark's gospel, restoring to wholeness, giving people life and community, putting them back into right ways of being, not forestalling death by a long shot, but literally reviving souls, reviving people. These two women in the story are brought together purposely because they're at either ends of the life spectrum. The young girl is 12 years old, which you don't get, unfortunately, at the very end of the story, but there it is, that detail. She's 12 years old. Her life is still ahead of her. But something acute has happened. I mean, we don't know what, but something acute, something sudden has taken hold. She is unconscious. Her father, not necessarily a believer, pleads for her as she cannot speak for herself. Despite the unbelief of those around him, they laugh at him when he proposes this. Jesus still goes ahead, brings with him those who are of faith, revives her, and gives her another chance at life. The older woman has been plagued with some kind of gynecological problem for 12 years. Perhaps one half of her entire life. His life expectancy wasn't very high in Jesus' time. If you were 30, you never needed to worry about signing up for AARP. Because 30 was about as far as you would get. So maybe for half of her life, she has had this issue. She cannot speak for herself either, because she is alone and she is ritually unclean because of this bleeding condition. She dares not ask Jesus for help. She is too embarrassed. She is too ashamed. And she dares not touch him directly. The best she can hope for is to clench his clothes from behind him. And in the story, there is a two-way transfer of healing power. She feels that she is better and healed, and Jesus feels that something has gone out of him. And is juxtaposed right there, two sentences together. She felt that she was healed, and Jesus felt that power had gone out of him. They both now are connected by this account. Once he hears her story, he confirms what she had hoped for. She can live longer, free of her condition. She can be restored to life for another chance. Early in my ministry, I was fortunate enough to be a chaplain at Massachusetts General Hospital, which is a teaching hospital, one of the oldest in the country. The original Bulfinch-designed building, which when it was constructed was on the banks of the Charles River, and there are accounts of people rowing up and bringing in people on litters into that very building. That still exists in the whole enormous complex. And there were physicians in the hospital who particularly, not all physicians used us, but particularly physicians sensitive to chaplains and recognized the role of chaplains and would call when they needed assistance. And so there was a chaplain in a physician in oncology who used us quite often and rang up one day and said, could someone come down? And I was there working with, you know, a baby chaplain, I might add. and went down. And there, they said, please go talk to so-and-so in the waiting room. And well, he had him in a private room, actually. He's really stuck and doesn't know what to do. So I came in and introduced myself. And what seemed to be apparent was that he was nearing the end of the effectiveness of his treatments. But the doctor sensed there was something else that was getting him. There was something else in his life that was a problem. So I just started chatting with him and, you know, where he was from and whatnot. And I could tell he was really preoccupied with something. And I said, what's wrong? I know your health is terribly challenged, but can you tell me what's wrong? And he said, well, I had, 30 years before, a huge falling out with my one and only brother, and we haven't spoken since then. And it's bothering me. And I said, I can see that. So I don't know where you get this sometimes. I mean, God does speak to you if you listen. And I blurted out, not so much thinking, but feeling, if you could do anything right now, what would it be? And he said, I would go see my brother and make amends. That's what I'd like to do. I said, then do it. Do it. I'm thinking the doctor is going to just really be furious with me. I'm interfering with medical orders, right? I said, do it. Just go and do it right now. Don't hesitate. He said, I will.
With God's help.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but yeah, hopefully he was thinking with God's help. So a few weeks later, I encountered the doctor in the hallway, and I said, how is it with this gentleman? He said, well, he went and visited his brother, and he came back, and he was at ease, and he was reconciled, and he was together, and he said, thank you for everything that you've done. I'm going to end my treatment, and I'm accepting what will happen, and thank you for everything. And that's what he did. And the physician said, you know, in all of the struggles we had in all of his battle and his struggling with his health, he said, that was the moment I felt he'd been healed. That was the moment that he said he was brought back to wholeness. We knew he couldn't cure the physical disease, but his spiritual life, his life with his family, was restored. Dorsey McConnell, the sometime Bishop of Pittsburgh, had this to say about these healings in Mark. What would it mean to you, what would it mean to me if you could be healed? I don't mean just cured of whatever physical ailments you may struggle with or their after effects. Very few of us over the age of 50 or so are walking around free of dings in our body work. Bum knees, old scars, the hand, the eye, the things that don't work the way they used to. Our culture sometimes is obsessed with cures, especially those that seem out of reach. Yes, one day there may be a cure for cancer or a cure for Alzheimer's, and yes, getting rid of those would be an immense gift. But not even the greatest cure you might imagine would be the same as healing. Because healing is a matter not only of the body, but of the soul. So what Jesus is about this morning, and what he is about all through his ministry, is restoring persons to wholeness. And if that means restoring them to life, which is always on loan from God, that is a wonderful thing. But his goal is reconciliation. Ourselves with each other, ourselves within ourselves, ourselves with God. So I'm going to keep my AARP membership, particularly for their advice about dating. Not that I'm going to be dating, but I just want to see what's going on out there since that I've been out of the dating pool for a while. You know, like always just kind of know what's going on. I'm going to keep that because there is helpful information. There really is. They do a great job in many, many ways. But I'll also keep my faith, challenged as it often is, and especially the faith that Jesus had and shared hope, restoration, and healing that leads us, soul and body, into wholeness with God. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen. Amen.